Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship at Emmanuel. Welcome also to all those joining us on the radio and online. We are in the fifth weekend of our celebration of Lent. That must mean that Holy Week is just around the corner. During the season of Lent, we follow Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem, and we witness his dedication and commitment. In today's gospel, Jesus is going to speak about his complete commitment to our salvation, the life and death and resurrection on our behalf. We'll see it reflected in the hymns, the prayers, and the lessons tonight. We'll follow the order of service that you hopefully received on your way into the sanctuary. That also gives us a chance to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight. Our opening hymn is number 808, Drawn to the Cross. God's richest blessings on our worship. Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. Gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Song of praise is omitted during the season of Lent. We'll continue with the prayer of the day. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, help us to remember Jesus, who obeyed your will and bore the cross for our salvation, that through his anguish, pain, and death, we may receive the forgiveness of sins, victory over the grave, and finally inherit eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. In the three lessons that serve as the foundation for worship this weekend, God reminds his people how committed he is to assuring their salvation. In the first lesson, God speaks to his chosen nation of Israel. As he had warned them, they would be going into captivity in Babylon. Their journey would be a long way. But God's determination to bring them back and restore them and their relationship with him would go even further. A lesson from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll join together tonight to sing Psalm 121. You'll find words and music on pages 8 and 9. We'll join to sing that psalm in its entirety.
Thank you.
In the second lesson, the writer to the Hebrews describes Jesus' willingness and commitment using a very powerful term. The term is obedience. We often think of Jesus being obedient in two senses of the word. One, he was willing to obey every command his Father gave him, actively obeying his Father. And secondly, he was willing to undergo all of the punishment and suffering that his Father had in store for him, to passively be obedient. We marvel at Jesus' commitment to our salvation in these words from Hebrews chapter 5. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Chapter 12. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd thought that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. We'll join to sing the hymn of the day. Upon the Cross Extended is number 434.
Thank you. you and I come before God, I want you to see yourself the way God sees you. And if you saw yourself the way God saw you, it would totally change your relationship with Him altogether. As we're rethinking religion, we're going to rethink what devoted commitment looks like and means. And we need to completely flip it and see it through the lens of what God says. We're going to use Isaiah 43 and John chapter 12 as the basis for our message. See, researchers who study sociology, which is what society and nations and communities look like, especially those who research the landscape of religion, have seen a shift in America away from God, and especially the church. Many people still claim to believe in God, and some of them will even identify themselves as Christian, but very few see a need to go to church or even belong to one. They're just simply not interested. And there's all kinds of reasons. Many of them blame it on what they see in religion and use it as the reason why they're turned off by the institutional church. And there's all kinds of reasons, whether it's the failure of leaders or the insensitivity or judgment on the part of Christians toward non-Christians, and the finger work of Satan at work in our world, trying to get people's eyes off of Christ and onto, well, all the other things in our world that pull people away. I mean, I know what I'm fighting this weekend. You know, when you got St. Patty's Day, and a choice between going to church and having fun out there, I know what it's like. And yet, when I've done my own personal research, even talking with some of these top researchers, few people really realize the value of what God is trying to give to us. Not in a building, but in His Word and in His sacraments. And I've done this research, I've seen it several times, where they claim that people who go to church weekly live 7.5 years longer than people who don't, or go to church very infrequently. Now that's a fact, and I understand that facts don't really motivate people very much, but if we're going to really rethink religion, we have to really rethink how we see devoted commitment. You see, I think it's always been seen in church attendance, you know, this little checklist and to-do box, how often we're in church. It's viewed and measured by people's offerings, or it's viewed and measured by how active and involved they are in the ministry of the church, how they join in activities at the church. Well, the truth is that 27% of the people do 80% of the work, and 20% of the people give 80% of the offerings. It's always been that way. It's called the Pareto principle, after an Italian who discovered this principle that is universally true in workplaces, in institutions across the world. And that's true of church. On any given weekend, 20% of Americans will worship in church, and 80% won't be. Now that's That's a fact out there. But what most people don't know, that only 3% will attend church on a weekly basis. 3% of Americans. And I honestly believe it's because we see it the wrong way. We're viewing it like through binoculars, only we have it turned around backwards. And we're seeing it small. It's not about what you do and how you perform. If you really want to rethink religion, rethink devoted commitment, we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and put them on God. And look at what He has done for us. And when you do that, then you will realize God is fully devoted and committed to you. And when you see yourself again through His eyes, you're going to see it all differently. Now, how do we know that? Isaiah 43 is one of my favorite passages of all time. In this beautiful section, this is God speaking to His children, and He's reminding them that He created and formed you just the way you are. Do you understand the miracle of that? The trillions it takes to make you. You're one in several trillion. That match that took place inside your mother. And then that miracle of life that was created. You know what God says in Isaiah 46? He says that I held you in my hands when you were conceived. At the moment of conception, when that sperm met that egg, all the DNA, all of the chromosomes that made some of you female, some of you male, and there's no other in-betweens, that made you with the propensity to have hair or not, made you tall or shorter, made you with blue eyes or brown eyes, all of it was written into that DNA. Not only that, but God wrote His name into your DNA. One of the most fantastic facts I discovered in the last couple of years is this double helix that runs through the DNA in every single cell. And you see that double helix, and it's got 10 strands, then it's 4 strands, then 6 strands, then 4 strands. And someone pointed out that in every single one of those, and it's repeated all throughout the cells of your body, it matches the Hebrew alphabet of Yod, He, Vav, He. That's the name, Lord, I Am, in the Old Testament. That God wrote His name into your DNA when He created and formed you. That means you are unique and you're special in God's eyes. And God wants you to see yourself that way. Because He held you in His hands when you were conceived. I carried you and cared for you in my arms when you were born. And then He gave you as a gift to your parents, to your siblings, whether they believe it or not, to your family, to each other. We're family. You're special, and God wants you to see yourself that way. All your unique gifts, all your unique talents, your intelligence, your capabilities, which I can't even come close to matching, that God put into you makes you you, and that makes you unique for this world. In this time of our world's history, you and I exist, and that means you and I exist for a reason. Now, God didn't stop there, because if He did, I would have just lost you. Because someone else put some corrupt programming into our DNA. called sin, and that was Satan. He put that malware in and programmed it right into us. And so God had to fix it. He had to clean it out. And the way he chose to do that was, he says, I redeemed you. So you don't have anything to fear from God. He says, you have nothing to fear from me because I redeemed you. He did it. I couldn't. And Paul tells us that he redeemed us through Christ's death on the cross, through the blood that he shed there. I love how Peter puts it, because when Peter says that you and I were redeemed from that corrupt life that was handed down to us, because you know my background, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and what was handed down to me was drugs and alcohol and death and divorce and you name it. Robbery, prison, all of the stuff that's in my family DNA wasn't anything connected to God passed down to me. And yet, God redeemed me, not with gold, not with silver, but with the precious blood of Christ shed on the cross. That's how valuable you are. So if you were in a store and you were put up for sale, how much would you cost? Some think, yeah, I'd be in the dollar store, right? No, you'd be in a store that not even the wealthiest person in our world would be able to purchase you, but God did. That's how valuable he saw you. I give nations, Cush and Seba, the most wealthy nations in the world at that time, I give them in exchange for you. He gave his son in exchange for you. His one and only son, whom he loved. He valued you, and having you back, that's what redemption means, to buy you back. And he was willing to pay the price. And you just sang it just a little bit before, that Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve us and to give his life as a ransom for us. So that means that God knows you personally by name. I have called you by name. You are mine. You belong to me, God says. And that means that whatever you go through in life, whatever life crisis you experience, you'll never go through it alone. I notice how God puts it here. He says, when you go through the waters, not if, but when you go through the waters of hardship, when you pass through the rivers of trouble, I will be with you. He's going to be holding you by your right hand. And if he has to, he says, I will carry you. Because when you're walking through the fire of trouble, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? For I am the Lord. Remember, he wrote that in your DNA. Your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's how fully committed God was to you. That's how valuable he sees you. He invested his son's life into you. And he was willing to give his son in exchange for you. That's how precious you are. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, you are my friends. So you want to talk about fully devoted commitment, just look at what God has done for you. And that means we need to look at Jesus. Because Jesus was also 100% fully devoted and committed to his Father and to each of us. When those Greeks came to Jesus' disciples asking to see Jesus, Jesus used that as an opportunity to teach not only his disciples that he wasn't dying for just a select few, but for everyone. And that he needed to die. Just like one kernel has to die, it has to be buried in the ground in order for it to grow and produce many kernels. And he's telling them, that's what I have to do. And he knew what it would cost him. See, Jesus was fully committed to obeying his Father's will, even though he knew it would cost him his life. He learned obedience, Hebrews tells us, through his suffering. And when he talks about being lifted up on the cross, you want those Greeks want to see me, Jesus said, but I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. And there's a reason why we have a cross on the top of our church. And the cross is the symbol, it's the sign of attraction. God is trying to draw us to his love, to his commitment, that he was willing to pay whatever price it took to have you be his through eternity. And that's exactly what Jesus was willing to do. He was fully devoted to his mission of rescuing us. That's why I came. Lord, save me from this hour? No. It's for this very reason that I came. And that's how he brought glory to God's name. And that's exactly what God is asking of us. You see, Jesus was willing to die on the cross. He says, nobody takes my life, but I lay it down of my own accord. God has given me this authority to lay it down and to take it up again, which is what he did when he rose from the grave. And he did it voluntarily. Now, when you look at yourself in light of what God thinks of you and what God has done for you and what God has poured into you, I think you need to rethink your commitment to God. It's between you and him. You ask yourself, what does God mean to you? What is full of devotion and commitment look like to him? I don't want you to look at it with any religious checklists or to-dos. One of the things I got rid of when I first came here was that little card that was sent out to people if they hadn't been in church for 6 weeks. Naughty, bad, bad person, you. And I think doing it that way is doing it wrong. I don't want there to be any pressure. I don't want there to be any guilt. I don't want there to be any judgment. Anything you and I do comes from a willing heart. Anything you and I do comes from your relationship based on his love for you and nothing else. So if you want to rethink religion, rethink what you mean to God. Rethink what he has done for you in Jesus. And have fun giving your life back to him who gave his life for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard and keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, that which unites us with those who have gone before us and with those who are coming after us is our faith, which we will join in confessing using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we go to God in prayer.
Heavenly Father, there is no way we could match the level of devoted commitment you have for us. You did not stop at creating and forming us because you knew we would be lost forever unless you took the step to redeem us. And the way you chose to redeem required willing devotion and commitment by you and by your Son, Jesus. He willingly suffered great pain and agony in body and soul to redeem us, to buy us back for you. He knew the commitment you required from him, and Jesus was absolutely devoted to obeying your will. Jesus obeyed you by going to the cross and taking our sins into his body. He willingly took our place and paid the debt we could not pay ourselves. And then he rose from the grave to assure us that all sins are forgiven and that our guilt has been removed forever. How can we thank you for all that you have done for us? Lead our devotion and commitment to come genuinely from our hearts. The worship that we offer, the offerings that we give, the service that we render to you and to others in need, may all these come from willing hearts. Open our eyes to see needs and opportunities to serve you and to help those in need. Change the way we view our roles at Emmanuel by changing the way we think about our relationship with you first, and then in the fellowship we share with our fellow brothers and sisters of our congregation and the community that we serve. We lift prayers of thanksgiving on behalf of Ralph and Carol Martin, who are celebrating 73 years of marriage. You have been their rock, their refuge, and their fortress during good times and bad. We trust that you will continue to hold your hand of blessing upon them as they look forward to sharing time together with you. That is what you have done for Carlton and Annabelle Begrow. 2 months after watching his wife being taken to glory, you now have determined to have Carlton join her in heaven. We thank you for blessing him with a strong faith in Jesus that resulted in a quick reunion with Annabelle. Help their family now take great comfort in knowing that you have brought them to the glory of the resurrection life. That life is what you have promised to do for all of us, dear Savior. We place our trust in you and the fierce, devoted love that you have for us. We see that love clearly this Lenten season in everything Jesus did for us. And so this season and always, we commit ourselves to your care in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll gather the offering.
Thank you.
Our service continues on the bottom of page 15 with the celebration of the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him you made all things. In him you are well pleased. He is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. To fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we glorify and honor you, O God our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now may this true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith until life everlasting. You are at peace with God. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this saving gift. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, On My Heart Imprint Your Image, is hymn 405. On a very busy weekend here in New London. Lots of tourists, lots of traffic, lots of opportunities to be fed with God's word as well. The Yellow Pages are where we keep a whole bunch of information, and with Holy Week just around the corner, it's chock full of ideas. So take a look at this. Lenten services are still on for this coming week. Pastor Hyges will be back on Wednesday night at 3:30 and at 7 o'clock with a meal in between. And then next weekend, we start into Holy Week with our celebration of Palm Sunday on the 24th, and then Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, just 2 weeks away now. As we're getting ready for Easter, we're also going to get you up to speed with a lot of things that are going to be happening as we relocate worship for our after Easter building project that is getting started on the 1st of April. So two things that I want to draw your attention to from the back of the Yellow Pages. One is we are looking for a lot of volunteers on April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That's the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday right after Easter. We need to relocate pews and furnishings. We've got professionals who are going to be in to lead that effort, but we need some people power to make sure that that happens. So between 8 o'clock and 3 o'clock on any one of those 3 days, if you're interested in helping out, give us a call in the church office. We're able to count heads that way and get all the work lined up and ready to go. Secondly, on your way out of worship tonight, if you haven't already grabbed a worship relocation guide, it's a big Q&A document that'll answer any questions that you may have. What's worship going to look like when we move out of this building? We've worked hard to try to answer all those questions ahead of time, and then next week we'll have a big video that's going to give you a whole overview of the project, including our financial project of raising a lot of money for that. We're doing really great things, and we want to give thanks for that as we head into the Easter season. Finally, you have some divine call news, and we have a response from our principal, Mr. Bill Furstenau, who's been holding a call to St. Paul's in Baraboo, Wisconsin. He writes, "Dear members of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, over the past 2 weeks, I've had the privilege to deliberate both my current call to be your principal and the call to be extended to me by the members of St. John's, not St. Paul's, Baraboo, to serve as their principal. I want to thank you for your prayers and for the kind words that many of you have had for my family and me. After hearing those words and after much thought and discussion, I feel that it's clear that God has much more work for me to do at Emmanuel. Therefore, I'm returning the call to St. John's and look forward to continuing to serving as your principal. Please keep the leadership and families at St. John's in your prayers. You know how difficult it can be to fill a void in the principal position, and that is the possibility that they now face. Thankfully, we know that God's perfect will is always done. I pray that my service to you and on behalf of your school will continue to bless your church in Christ, Mr. Bill Furstenow. So celebration for Mr. Furstenow staying on to our staff. A few more calls that are coming together for our teaching team into the future, but God is blessing us and our staff as we look forward to the next school year as well. Those are all the announcements from me. God's richest blessings to all of you throughout the week. Take a moment to greet someone nearby you.